Sure, just throw it around.
My daughter fell out of the ice and her elbows are all black and blue real bad.
No, my grandma told me.
Is it the button? Yes.
Good?
Yeah. I don't know if you're out here or underneath there.
That's fine. I'll get it right there. Yeah, I don't know if it would pick me up under there. All right, if we're ready, we're in Philippians chapter 4. Morning. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Look at this, we're all in this quiet.
I know, everybody's... here we go. Balance us out here. Sit on this side. You're okay. Everybody's over here. We were just laughing. You came in to balance us out.
Oh, okay.
Philippians chapter 4.
If you heal only, if you bring
them. That's okay. That's okay.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us all grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And when things on this earth, be it weather or political things or social things or governmental things or personal things, all the things that distract us and cause us grief or just irritation on this earth, Father, we thank and praise you that you've lifted and raised us up above it all, that you've seated us at your right hand. And Father, we pray that we would come to a better, fuller, and deeper understanding of your grace and your purpose for us, that we might live to your glory. And we pray it in our Savior's name. Amen. We are in Philippians chapter 4. We're kind of winding down our study in the book of Philippians. We're in the last handful of verses here. And last time, we considered verses 10 through 13, or 10 through 12, really. So let's go ahead and pick it up there at Philippians 4:10, where Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So last time, a couple weeks ago, we talked about contentment. Those couple verses there, particularly verse 11 and 12, where Paul says that he knows how to be abased. And we've seen the things that the Apostle Paul has gone through, and he's in prison as he's writing this epistle. And he says, "I know how to be abased." And the idea there is someone is abasing him. He says, I know how to be that, how to be in that position where someone is putting me down, oppressing me, persecuting me, whatever it is. And I know how to abound. And we talked about that idea that we have trouble with the abasing part and we like to abound. But the fact is that both of those things have a tendency to want to pull us away from God, whether it's suffering or whether it's being full. And we begin to get the idea, especially when we're abounding, that we need God less and less because we have the things that we need and we're not forced to depend on Him. And then our flesh wants to go off in a bad direction, and we start trusting in those uncertain riches. But Paul says that I know how to do both of those things. And he says, everywhere and in all things, in the middle of verse 12 there, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that verse there, Philippians 4:12, and that's 13, sorry, is kind of where we're going to rest this morning. Because that verse, we all know that verse, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's one of everyone's favorite verses, certainly one of mine. And people, you'll hear people take that verse in all sorts of different contexts and mean it in all kinds of different ways. It seems like anything that a Christian person wants to do, it's kind of like the Christian version of saying, I can do anything I set my mind to. And we've been talking in this book of Philippians about rejoicing in the Lord and doing what we do through Christ, and that how completely different and opposite that is to that idea of positive thinking and of I can do anything I set my mind to. And when Paul says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, the immediate context here is I know how to suffer. I know how to do without. I know it's not a matter of I'm going to go out and get that thing because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We're going to do this. We're going to make that happen. And that the context here is doing without some things that I would like to have or even some things that I would like to do. Again, Paul's in prison here. Now you know that he would like to be out and preaching and ministering. And this prison, by all appearances, is hindering him from the work of the Lord. So that's included. I know how to be in a position where I can't do everything that I would like to get out and do, even in those terms, in terms of service. So, there is a context to this verse, for Philippians 4:13, and the critical words there for us to get, I mean, they're all critical. I can do all things. There is nothing we've been talking about, you know, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And there is nothing in this Christian life that you can't do. You can't look at something that God calls you to do and say, you know, I just can't do that. That's not true. You can do that. I can do all things through Christ. Now, that idea of through Christ, if you look back just a few verses, when we talked about in verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's another passage that people take and they say, okay, well, I'm just going to pray, and God's going to give me peace. Well, God's going to give you peace, and He's going to keep our hearts and our minds, but He's going to do it through Christ Jesus. Now, what that means is, that means that God is operating in a particular way. It's not just, I'm going to trust God, and, you know, with this thing, whatever it is that I'm wanting to do, I'm going to go ahead and do it, and I'm going to trust God that He's going to enable me to do it. Well, see, that's not how it works. God is doing what He's doing. And we talk about this all the time. And I hope the more it's said, the more it, you know, fuller understanding we all get of this idea of what God is doing today. Where is the power of God? Where is He? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay, come back with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. This is another passage that we're familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So Paul's talking about being strengthened by Christ and doing the things that God has called him to do. That is to, in that context, to abound and to suffer need. I can do those things. And when he says that, I mean, we can all do those things, right? We can all abound. And you throw money at me, I'll abound. You know, if I don't have what I need, then I'll suffer need. We all know how to do those things. It's not like we have a choice. What Paul's talking about is doing them godly. Doing them in the Spirit. Using those things to affect this growth, pressing toward the mark that we've been talking about. How to have those things working in my life, both abounding and suffering need, being full and being hungry. All things, right, work together. Paul says, I know how to do that. And I do it through Christ. See, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, when he says, I'm going to do these things through Christ, it's not just that the power of God toward me works through Christ. That's when you do something in the power of God, you do it, we do it consciously through Christ. Yes, sir. Now, what does that mean? See, if I'm going to do something in the will of God and by the power of God, I need to do it the way God is doing it. What is God doing today? What God is doing today, He's doing through Christ. Now, what does that mean? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, let's pick it up in verse 7. Again, we all know this passage. Unless I should be exalted above measure, 2 Corinthians 12, 7, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, you want to get that verse 9 there. And you want to see what's going on. You see what's happening here? We're talking about the strength of the Lord. The strength of God. Doing things by the power of God. How do we do that? Number one, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So you see that connection now between God's grace and His strength working in you and in me. What that means is, when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, he's talking about the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I can do all things that God requires of me through an understanding of grace, through an understanding of what God is doing today. When I have that understanding and I do the things that I do in that and through that understanding, I am doing them through Christ, because that's where the grace of God is. What God is doing today, He's doing through Christ. What He's doing today is grace. The grace of God which is in Christ Jesus. So when we want to walk and live in the power of God, the power of God is in Christ. So when we do what we have to do it through Christ, which means doing it by an intelligent, conscious choice and understanding of the grace of God. What's the grace of God? It's what God is doing today. It's kind of like you're standing beside a river here, and that river is flowing and it's powerful, and that's the power of God flowing, and it's moving. God is moving. And I'm standing off over here. I'm going to trust God to move me forward, and I'm going to stand here and I'm not going to move until I get in line with what God is doing. What God is doing, He's doing through Christ. Now the power of God can move me, because I've made a conscious choice to do what I do according to, through Christ. So the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." We're talking about, in our context, in Philippians. How do I feel like I'm like I have what is sufficient? I'm hungry, or I'm full, I abound, or I suffer need, and yet I'm always sufficed. In whatsoever state I am, I've learned therewith to be content. That means I have sufficient to my need. Well, how do I have that? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I want the power of Christ. That's what he's talking about. I can do. That's that power. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. How does that come? It comes by understanding grace. The grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now what does that mean, understanding grace? Well, we understand by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We got that understanding of grace when we got saved, right? You don't get saved without that understanding of grace. And we've been talking in this study in Philippians over and over again about, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, even though that's in Colossians, the whole idea of it flows through Philippians, so walk ye in Him. So we take that understanding of grace that we started out with, And we grow in that. And we understand that cross, that is what Christ did there on that cross, is where the grace and the power of God resides today. So what we do through that power, that is through that understanding. Faith in the doctrine, in what God has said, in what He's doing today. So we get saved. Then we come through and we begin to grow. And how do we grow? We grow by an increasing understanding of grace. And Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over you. It won't have power over you. How do I have power over sin? Where is that strength? I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. Where does that come from? Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under the law, but under grace. That's where the power comes from. Because now I'm doing what God is doing. I've stepped into the flow. And I'm. Paul says, I want to apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. I'm moving in the direction that God is trying to move me. So I do what I do through Christ. It's not just, here's what I want to do, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and through Christ is a, you know, yeah, it happens to be in the verse. Through Christ is the key. And through Christ means through grace. Now, read the next verse here as long as we're here. Paul, he's already said, most gladly, and I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul, he's starting to sound like a masochist in this thing, and he kind of does that throughout his epistles. He talks about rejoicing in suffering and tribulation. In verse 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, now what's happening here? Now, Philippians, we just read in Philippians, okay? Paul says, I'm instructed. I've been taught. I've been in class with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's taught me these things. And what am I instructed? I'm not just instructed to suffer. There's two extremes about the ideas about the Christian life and about what God is doing and about what a Christian should be doing. Number one, you know the prosperity preachers that tell you that you ought to be abounding, and if you're not abounding, God's not blessing you, and you must be living in some kind of sin, or your faith isn't strong enough. If you need to be abounding because that's what God is doing. That's not what God is doing. See, they're not doing what they're doing through Christ. But then there's another side, that kind of vow of poverty, kind of a religious idea. That Christians, if a Christian's not suffering, right? If you're a child of God, every son receives chastening of the Father. If you're not getting any chastening, you must not be a son. I've heard that too. So, on the one hand, you got someone telling you if you're not swimming in money, you're not doing the right thing, God's not blessing you. If you're not swimming in blood, you're doing the wrong thing. Paul says, I'm instructed to do both. I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. Because what's happening in my circumstances here around me is not the issue. That's the whole point, is I'm instructed to get above all of that. It's not about what's happening around me, except insofar as those things can help and further me along in this pressing toward the mark. So Paul says, here, I take pleasure in infirmities. So, yeah, there's suffering involved. It's not all about suffering. God hath given us richly all things to enjoy, and we can be full just as well as we can be hungry. But Paul talks a lot about suffering, because suffering really is kind of a more effective tool in these things that we're talking about here. But also, it goes beyond that, because we're talking about grace, and we're talking about a growing and enlarging understanding of grace, because grace is what God is doing today. So we get grace at the cross, and we get saved, and we understand what grace is. And then we begin to grow, and we understand more about what grace is. And we understand that God's not mad at me, and that I have a position in Christ that is unmovable and undeniable and unlosable. And there's nothing I can do to mess that up. The grace of God has the power to keep me there. I got saved apart from my behavior. Now I begin to learn that my whole relationship with God is through Christ, is through that grace. Everything God is doing today, He's doing through Christ. So I grow in that knowledge. And what is that? The grace of God. which is in Christ Jesus. I'm growing in that. So I begin to learn how to relate to God. And that power now, because I'm not under the law but under grace, sin begins to have less dominion over me, and I start to get strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And that power comes, and I start, my life starts changing, and I start overcoming sin in my life. Then I continue to grow. And then I start thinking more about grace and understanding more about grace. And I begin to understand that it's not just about saving me from hell, and it's not just about sanctifying me through this life, but there's a whole world of other people out here who I can touch. Because what grace is, we know what grace is, right? We've made up, it's not a Bible definition, but it's a good one. We all know unmerited favor, right? That's what grace is. Unmerited favor. So we begin to learn to deal with one another now in grace. Other people. You know what other people do? Other people aggravate you. That's what other people do. Other people get under your skin. So we learn how to deal with each other in grace. My favor toward you, unmerited. Not because you deserve it, although you all do. But because it's grace. See, grace doesn't originate with the receiver. Grace originates in the giver. So we learn that about grace, and we learn how to deal with one another, and then we look at this world out here and we realize there's all these lost souls that need the grace of God. And they're a bunch of, you know, they don't care. They're out there just living it for themselves and in sin. And my flesh would be tempted to just say, you know, let them go on. But that was me before I came to understand grace. And somebody before me understood grace enough not to let me just go on. So we start to get that kind of bigger view of grace. And now you're starting to get a fuller view of what God is doing. It started out with your salvation. It's very, very small. This little space in the universe right here, that's what the grace of God was all about. It filled this spot. It was great, sufficient. Then it starts filling more. And it starts reaching out to the people that we know and that we touch, and we start to realize that what God is doing today, He's doing by grace and He's doing through Christ. And that Christ dwells in me. So now what God is doing today, He's doing through me. As long as I'm doing what I do through Christ. So when God touches other people out there, He's going to do that through you. That's how He's going to do it. He's not going to come down with a lightning bolt and hit someone on the head who needs to get hit in the head. You need to hit him in the head. You need to hit him in the head with grace. Understand? Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. So we get that. And okay, so now we're all good. Now we're living and we're our mind is there, and we're in Christ, and we understand grace, and we're not worried about God being mad at us anymore. We have that liberty now to grow, to actually admit who we are, so that God can then take us from there and move us forward, rather than that religious denial of my own sin that just absolutely stifles and stunts any growth I might have. Grace gives me the liberty to say, yeah, I screwed up here, without worrying about getting my head chopped off for it. So God can now take me, because I've admitted what's gone on here, and move me now from there. Grace enables God to work that way, because it gives us the freedom to be honest. with ourselves and to turn to the Lord with it. So we get that. And then we begin to minister, and other people, it begins to work out in our life, and other people begin to be touched by what God is doing today through you, because you're doing what you do today through Christ, through an understanding of grace. But there's another level now, what Paul is talking about here, what Paul is talking about in our passage in Philippians. And it gets even larger, because what God is doing today is He is being long-suffering with this whole creation, isn't He? This is a dispensation of long-suffering. We talked about that last time. And Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ took Him and He made Him a pattern, so that everyone thereafter who believed on Christ would see the long-suffering of God in the pattern that He laid down in the Apostle Paul through His doctrine and in His life. And God is, this whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now, Paul says. That is, until this dispensation. It wasn't supposed to be that way. The kingdom was supposed to come in. That was the schedule. And sorrow and sighing were supposed to flee away, and the curse was supposed to be lifted, and it wasn't supposed to be suffering for these last 2,000 years. We ought to be beyond the millennium by now, 1,000 years ago, had the great white throne judgment and been 1,000 years into the new heaven and the new earth right now, had the prophetic program been allowed to continue. But God stopped it by grace, in favor of grace, and gave this creation grace instead. And what is grace? It's unmerited favor. So now I've got this whole creation around me. All the circumstances and things that happen that whirl around my life. Paul says here, those infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, you know what those things are? They don't merit my favor. But Paul says, I take pleasure in them anyway. You know what that is? That's grace. Unmerited favor. So now it's not just me, and it's not just the church, and it's not just the world of people out there, but it's everything. It's this universe. It's this creation. It's everything that happens in my life. I can be favorably disposed to. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about stuff. I can be favorably disposed to. It doesn't merit my favor. That's nasty stuff right there. But I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ who strengthens me. By the grace of God, I live this life. And I can take pleasure in infirmities because I understand grace. Because what God is doing today is extending grace to this undeserving world, extending His favor to it. So if I want to do what God is doing, I learn, Paul says, I'm instructed to do this. To give favor to things in my life that don't merit it. Not just to suffer it. Not just to endure it. Paul says, I take pleasure in it. See, that's grace. That's an expanding, growing, universal now understanding of grace. Of what God is doing in terms of all creation. We're a part of that. So we live, when we live and we walk through this world, we do it through Christ. That is, through grace. Come with me to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. My time's running out. I'm talking way too much this morning. Let's let the Lord talk a little bit here. Galatians chapter 5. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." So we're talking about, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, how does Christ strengthen me? Paul says, if you be circumcised, that is, you go back under that old bondage, Christ doesn't strengthen you. Christ becomes of no profit. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. Why? Because you are fallen from grace. So how does the power of Christ rest upon me? Through grace. Through understanding what God is doing today. Getting in line with what God is doing today. Being in the flow of the power and moving of God today. And the power and moving of God today is by grace, and it's through Christ. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that's where we want to be. We don't want Christ to be of no effect in our life. We want that power. I want to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't want to step outside of that flow. And I have that choice. This isn't some mystical thing. Oh, I'm, you know, out here serving the Lord and the power of God is working on me like I'm in some kind of trance and He's moving me around. You know and I know that your Christian life works is based on an intelligent understanding of some doctrine, some truth, and applying that truth to your life, to your thoughts, all those things that Paul has been telling us about. Keeping your mind on those things. So, when Paul says there, you know, here, we've got time. Come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 this time. This is important to get because we see words like that. You know, rejoice in the Lord. And people see that and they say, okay, I'm supposed to be happy. And they miss the whole point of the in the Lord.
In the Lord.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that means I can do anything I set my mind to. No, it doesn't. It means you can do all things through Christ. So, understanding that God is doing what He's doing in a particular way, it isn't just, I'm going to trust God and He's going to give me power. What are you trusting God for? What are you trusting Him to do? You need to trust Him to do what He says He's going to do. Your faith needs to be in God's Word, and it needs to be in God's Word rightly divided. You need to know what God is doing today. That's where the power comes from. An intelligent understanding of the doctrine. And then applying that understanding to the details of our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward." Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now you see, we're here because of verse 4. How does Paul trust God? I trust God. Do you trust God? Ask people if they trust God. Yeah, I trust God. Paul says, we trust God through Christ. What does that mean? That means, Paul, he's talking about ministry here. He's talking about doing all things. He's talking about serving the Lord, doing those things that God has called him to do. And he's talking about sufficiency again. Where does his sufficiency come from? Just by kind of a blind, dumb trust in God, that God's going to do some vague thing in my life, basically, which ends up being what I want him to do? He says, we have trust in God, but we have trust in God through Christ. I know what my relationship and my connection to God is. I know where that stands, and I know where that life comes from, and I know where that power comes from. It comes through Christ, and when it comes through Christ, it's coming through grace. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I trust God, but I trust Him through Christ to be my sufficiency, to make us able ministers. Are we sufficient for these things in ourselves? No. Our sufficiency is of God through Christ. So, you and I, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the only way we can do what the Lord has called us to do. But if we do it that way, we can do all things. There's nothing that you can't do that God has called you to do. You can be content and so much more if you do what you do through Christ. Do you have a question? Yeah, Paul.
When the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Yeah.
Why did the writer use the word which instead of who?
It's an excellent question. Because he's talking about grace. Because he's talking about the power of God that comes through Christ. It is that which comes through Christ which strengthens me. It's an interesting way to put it, isn't it? He should say, through Christ, who strengthens me?
Right.
But he says, which strengthens me? Which tells you that it is the person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That relationship is absolutely and completely personal. But it's through that power that resides in Him, which is grace. That's what that power is. Yeah, boy.
There's a proverbial statement, you know, he had to learn it the hard way and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, we have to remember, Paul did learn it the hard way.
Yeah.
And that, but that doesn't mean we, like the verse here, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. If we've been healthy for 40, 50 years, never had to go to the doctor ever or whatever, does that mean, well, my strength can't, you know,
Strength
can't be made perfect.
Yeah.
No, you have the scripture. It's Paul is an example.
Right.
And we can go to that, and you know, we can see we have the remedy before the problem comes.
It's, yeah.
He was learning the remedy as the problem.
Right. Comes. Right. It's a good point. It's a great point.
The health and wealth gospel. You know,
mm-hmm.
They proclaim health and wealth. When they get sick, they run here to Paul.
Yeah.
So they're learning it the hard way.
Yeah, yeah.
We should be grateful that we don't have to learn it the
it's,
hard way.
Yeah, well.
We know ahead of time
right.
where our provision is going to be when those hard times hit.
We've got Paul who laid the foundation, yeah.
He experienced all those things firsthand.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And right. And he's talking about physical infirmities and weaknesses in that passage. But we've got plenty of weaknesses of our own that we can use to learn. But you're right. As that pattern, as that wise master builder who laid the foundation, Paul went through all of that stuff. And so that, so we don't necessarily have to, I've been strong all my life, I can't have the power of Christ rest on me. We've got the doctrine that, that came through Paul. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, Brady.
Yeah, like you said, I can do all things through Christ. If I look at 1 Corinthians 3 and you go down to 5, it said, not that we are sufficient to of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ.
It's of God, yeah.
So, you know, we do all things through him, and as a soldier, Paul talking about walking with him and doing his will, you got to rely on him in every situation. Whatever you need, when you're walking with him, you rely on him. Whether you're going through a sickness or health, your healing or whatever, it's going to come through him.
Yep. Yep.
Your total need is going to come through relying on him, not of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we do that by faith. And by faith in what he says. Again, it's not just kind of a vague, I'm trusting the Lord. If I'm going to say I'm trusting the Lord, I need to have a verse behind that. What am I? What did God say that I'm trusting? Or am I just kind of, you know, do I have this kind of oblique idea of, you know, God's going to help me somehow? Trust.
Yeah, the real question is, who thought we needed to have a pattern?
Why is that? Don't we?
Well, he had to save us.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. We absolutely need one, and he provided one.
Very good.
All right. Thanks, y'all.